If you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you turn, please, to the 92nd Psalm. This is a beautiful and precious psalm of praise and of promise. I want us to read it responsibly this morning. I'm going to be reading out of the King James. If you have a King James, why, just read responsibly if you don't look on with your neighbor there. Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies. Mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in Him. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. Our Heavenly Father, we do come with our offerings praising the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus. Because of what He's done for us, Father, we want that gospel to be declared to all who have never heard. We want the gospel of Jesus Christ to be declared in all of its power and in all of its fullness and in all of its gentleness and tenderness and love. Father, we dedicate these offerings unto that end. That the anointing of God would be upon these pennies and upon these dollars, that they would never again find their way into Satan's clutches, but that they would be used to proclaim the glory of God and the wonderful saving gospel of Jesus to all who have not heard. And to that end, Father, we dedicate these offerings. And as we bring our offerings, we dedicate ourselves anew and afresh to the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the fullness of the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Use us, Father. Use our lives and our time and our abilities as well as our money to do the work of Your kingdom. For we pray it in Jesus' mighty and blessed name. Amen.
Amen.
Remain standing, if you will. And James, I'm going to ask if you'll come. Elder James Fulcher is going to lead us to the throne of grace today in prayer. If you lifted up this morning a need to the Lord, a special need, I want you just to reach out and receive it. You heard what the voice of the Lord has spoken to you, that He meets all of our needs by His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There isn't anything that you need here this morning, any of you. There isn't a thing that you have need of today that God Almighty does not, A, have available to you, and B, does not want to give to you. Your Heavenly Father loves you with a love that you don't even know yet. We had just partaken of the first fruits. God's love is so much richer and so much fuller and so much more abundant than even we know yet. He wants you to know today that if you have a need, if there's something that you're seeking Him about, stop seeking and begin receiving. Stop asking and start thanking. Stop begging and begin taking. Because God has set a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And it's a table full of the abundance of God. And that means whatever it is that you need from your Father, it's set on the table for you. Now, no one is going to take the spoon and put it into your mouth. For you are no longer babies. You are no longer children. But that you're sons and daughters of the living God. And He wants you to take your own spoon and dip it into His abundance and partake of it yourself because you have a right to it. You're the children of the living God. And all that Jesus Christ did, He did not do for Himself. He did it for you. And He did it for me. He didn't have to purchase anything for Himself. He purchased it for you. And He purchased it for me. God wants us to know this morning that all of that which we need, He does not want it to go lacking in our lives. If you have a lack or a need, He wants to fill it. And if the lack remains, it's not because He's not able or willing to fill it, it's because we're unwilling to receive it. Not unable, but unwilling. The way you do it is by saying, "Thank you, Father, for meeting my needs. I believe you have done so. I receive it with thanksgiving from your hand, and I praise you for it." That's the way you receive from God. You receive with your mouth and with your actions. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know who all that's for this morning. That's for some of you. Maybe many of you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But has the Lord ministered to you this morning?
Amen.
He's got much more for us today. Praise God. He has got a message for us this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pray with me, if you will, just a minute. Father, I thank you for the message that you've laid upon my heart today. I thank you for the truth of it and the beauty of it and the power of it. I thank you, Father, that you have given it to me today. I thank you that by your Spirit I'll speak it forth. I thank you, Father, that by your Spirit you will anoint the ears of those that will hear so that they'll receive it, not in their heads, Father, where it won't do them any good, but down deep in their spirits where you live. I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that indwells all who are your children. For it is He who is the one that teaches us. And He is the one that witnesses to us the truth that you're giving. I thank you, Father, for your word, for the power and the anointing that's upon it, the beauty that's in it, and for the promise that it contains for all of those who will put their faith and trust in it, in the written word and in the living word, even the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth himself. Take these words now, Lord, which I'm going to speak. Take my mouth, Father, and my spirit and my mind and all of my being. Use me today, Father, as a tool in the hands of a master. And as a painter, Father, takes a brush and paints a beautiful picture. I ask, oh, hallelujah. I ask you to take me this morning, Father, and use me as a paintbrush. And paint a beautiful picture, Father, for your people. And that the glory and the praise for it would go to the painter. And not to the brush, is my prayer. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of Ezra. I would venture to say that most of you have not been in the book of Ezra recently. It'd be interesting to see how long it takes most of you to find the book of Ezra. Then we'll know. Praise God. I give you a hint. The book of Ezra is Old Testament. It's right after 2 Chronicles. And if you have difficulty finding 2 Chronicles, that's right after First Chronicles, very good. I believe we have a congregation full of Bible scholars here this morning. Praise the Lord. The book of Ezra, chapter 3. Now, you ought to know a little bit about Ezra and about the time that this book was written. Ezra was a Levite. He's a real live man. The book of Ezra is not a place, it's a man. He was a scribe, a descendant of Aaron, the high priest, the brother of Moses. He had a priestly function in the kingdom of God. He was also a scribe. He recorded God's word and copied it. This book of Ezra is, Ezra lived at the time of the deliverance from the captivity at Babylon. You remember that God's children had been carried away by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. They stayed there in captivity and in bondage for 70 years. When they were delivered from their bondage by an edict of King Cyrus, who was a Persian king who had conquered Babylon. And Ezra was one of the priests and one of the scribes that had gone back from Babylon to Jerusalem. Cyrus had sent a number of them, 42,000 plus, to go back into Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of God. As they come back into Jerusalem, they did begin to build. They built houses for themselves. And then subsequently, upon the move of the Spirit of God upon the people, they built the temple of God. They restored Solomon's temple, which had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar at the time of the conquest, when he carried the children of Israel away. So this is the time now that Ezra lived. And that's the period of time that Ezra is writing of here. Now I want to read a passage out of the third chapter today that has to do with the laying of the foundation of the house of God. Now the story here has to do with the physical, literal temple of God. It's the restoration of Solomon's majestic temple, which had been destroyed. We begin to read at the sixth verse. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. They gave money also unto the masons, and to the carpenters, and meat and drink, and oil unto them of Zidon, and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God. The sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. This is the story of the laying of the foundation, as I said, of the physical, literal temple, the restoration of the temple of Solomon. As the foundation was laid, all of the people came together upon the completion of the foundation and began to shout and to sing praises unto Almighty God for what he had done. Now, at the time of Ezra, God dwelt in a physical house. At the time of Ezra the scribe, God's presence dwelt in a physical temple. You'll remember that when the temple was built by Solomon, and also when it was reconstructed again under Zerubbabel and Jeshua, when the temple was rebuilt and the presence of God was prayed into the house, that the physical, literal presence of Almighty God came into that temple, into the Holy of Holies, in such a wonderful way that the cloud of God, as it appeared in the temple, was so strong, so powerful, so overwhelming, that the priests that were to minister unto God could not minister inside the house. That the presence of God was real, and they knew it. God dwelt in those days in physical houses, in temples that were built by the hands of men. But since the Lord Jesus shed His blood, God no longer dwells in houses that are built with hands. This is what Stephen was talking about in the 7th chapter of Acts when he said, "Howbeit the Most High," this is in the 48th verse, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all of these things?" God no longer dwells in houses that are made with hands. He says, "The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Have I not made all of these things?" He says, "I don't dwell in the Holy of Holies in a temple in Jerusalem. I don't dwell in the sanctuary of First Methodist Church. I don't dwell in the auditorium at Water of Life Christian Center. I don't dwell in the altar room at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. I don't dwell in places that are made with hands. You can't contain the Almighty God. For heaven's His throne, earth is His footstool, and all that in them belongs to Him." And God's presence does not dwell any longer in places of stone. His presence does not dwell particularly within the walls of this facility right here. God dwells in temples that are bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God dwells today in flesh and blood temples, not in ones that are made with stone. And as I was thinking this week about what the Lord would have me to share with the church today, I began to think about what He had done for us in providing this wonderful facility. And I began to think about all of the people who were here and who were working on it, who were painting and scrubbing and fixing and repairing and all of the work that is yet to do. And the Lord on Friday morning brought back to my remembrance this passage out of Ezra. I'd not read it in many months. Now, how many of you remember this passage and the significance that it has? One, two of you. Three of you. God gave us this passage of Scripture on the night of June the 4th, 1976, in the living room of James and Mary Ann Fulcher. And if you recall, that was the night that the Spirit of God was poured out in that place in a way that I have never seen it poured out before or since. And the Lord spoke to us that night and compared that evening with the day of Pentecost, if you'll recall. And one of the folks who was there that night, who didn't even know how to spell Ezra, let alone know that it was in the Bible, was given this verse of Scripture by the Spirit of God that night, this second half of the 11th verse. If you still have it, just read it with me. "And all of the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." Now, we all thought we knew what the Lord was saying, that He was laying the foundation right then. But the Lord has shown me something this week that I had not seen before. We expected, many of us, as you'll recall, and this is not a trip down memory lane, but I want to bring this back to your remembrance so that you can see what God wants us to know this morning. We expected when we walked into our own church that next Sunday morning that we were going to see the power of God by His Holy Spirit fall all over the pastor and the elders and the congregation. There'd be Holy Ghost revival in that place the next Sunday morning. That's what we thought, didn't we? Well, there was Holy Ghost revival, but it did not happen the way we thought it was going to happen. We thought the prophecy that that word which God had given us would be fulfilled 2 days hence, but it was not. Part of it was. Many days later, like a year later, when the Water of Life Christian Center Fellowship was formed, we thought, ah, there it is. There's the fulfillment of that word which God had given us. And it was another part of it, but it was not all of it. Some of you will remember that God not only gave that verse of Scripture that particular night, but He gave it about 6 months later, as I recall, or 3 months, 3 to 6 months later, at an evening Bible study. When our brother Ron Crane happened to be at that Bible study, and it was after the study was over. I don't even know if Ron remembers this. But it's the way that the Lord has to witness to me what He's doing. And after that Bible study was all over, many of the folks had gone, and I was just kidding. Sometimes I let my mouth get away from me, and Ron was sitting there at the head of the table where the Bible study leader normally sits. And I said, those of you that know Ron will understand why I would say this. I said, Ron, why did you call this prayer meeting? He didn't bat an eye. He said, well, we're going to study a passage of Scripture. And he opened up his Bible. You know where it fell open to? He says, we're going to study right here out of Ezra. Now, he didn't even know how to spell Ezra. He had a hard time pronouncing it. He says, out of Ezra, the 3rd chapter, we'll begin here at the 11th verse. Now, Ron wasn't there that night. He was in the house that night, but he was not in the room where this prophecy was given. I knew right then that this word had something special for us and that it was as yet unfulfilled. And God has given me this passage of Scripture many times since then. And I would bring it to different people's attention. Yeah, I remember now that you mention it. But the Lord has never let me forget this particular passage of Scripture. He showed me in the last 2 days that this has now been fulfilled. Not in the foundation being laid of a physical house, but God's been dealing with me about a spiritual house. He's been dealing with me about a habitation for God in the Spirit. I said that God does not dwell in temples that are made with hands any longer. He dwells in flesh and blood temples. I believe we looked at this scripture just last week in 1 Peter. I want to read it again. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. I'm going to read a number of scriptures today. If you have your Bibles, just follow along. It'll help you to follow better, and the message will be more meaningful. The Spirit of the Lord will be able to minister to you more easily if you just follow along in the Word. Ezra said that all of the people shouted with a great shout when the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. What God is telling me is that He has already laid the foundation for the spiritual house, the house of the Lord, that is being built right now in this place. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones or living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. A spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And then in the 2nd chapter of Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 22, in whom, that is the Lord, ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God is building a house. He's building a spiritual house. And He's saying to me, and I hope that He's saying to you this morning, that the foundation of that house is now complete. The foundation of the spiritual house that God Almighty is building in this place has now been laid. You know, so many times we miss what God is doing because we miss just one little detail. If you were to say God is laying a foundation, we expect that foundation to be laid in a day. But when you lay the foundation of a little house, you can lay it in a day, can't you? A physical house. But when you lay the foundation of a big house, I mean a great house, you don't lay it in a day. It takes many days to lay a foundation that's going to support a great house. You understand what I'm saying? If you're building a big physical house, it takes many days to lay that foundation. If you're building a great spiritual house, it takes also many days until that foundation is completely laid. Every stone is chipped and worked very carefully so it fits just perfectly. The mortar that holds those stones together is put in place perfectly. Everything is nice and level and straight. Every one of you that are part of this ministry have been put into the foundation of this house which God is building. Over the last 2 or 3 years, God has been chipping away at you, making you the right shape, making you a perfect shaped stone so that you would fit into this foundation in just the way that He wanted you to fit. I can feel a chipping in my life. I can look back on it now, and I praise God for all of those corners that He's chipped off. But I know now that He's got me laid into the foundation, and I'm mortared in there to stay, brother. And the rest of you are too, those of you that have said, I'm with you. Not with me. You're not with me, you're with Him. That's what I'm talking about. You understand what I mean? The foundation of the house of the Lord has been laid. God has been building that foundation over the last 2+ years. Today He wants me to say to you, the foundation is now complete. Now we start to build the house. Now we begin to build upon that foundation, which is secure and solid and will not ever crack. And we're going to build, by the power of the Spirit of God, a spiritual house in this place for a habitation of God in the Spirit. And the Spirit of Almighty God lives in this place. I mean in your lives. In each one of you. It's a spiritual house. That's why when you all came together this morning, the Spirit of God came upon you as you began to lift your praises unto God. As you began to shout and to sing. There's reason for rejoicing today. The foundation of the house of God has been laid. And God wants you to know, not as a matter of pride or arrogance, but that praise and thanksgiving should come to Him today, that the house which you will be built upon this foundation will be a great house. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because we know who sits at the gates of hell. But we sit in heavenly places with Jesus Christ our Lord. And we know how to take care of the plans and the plots that are fabricated at the gates of hell, don't we? Therefore, the gates of hell and all of their connivings and plannings will not prevail against this place. I don't care what it is. It's a house built unto Almighty God. It'll glorify Jesus Christ. And it'll be a place where spiritual sacrifices will go up in praise to God. Can you get a feeling for that? I tell you, if you can get the vision of this in your spirit, you ought to go to rejoicing and praising Almighty God. It's a wonderful thing that God Almighty is doing here. And I'm so excited. I just want you to know how excited I am just to be a part of it. Just to be one little stone. You know, there are stones that are laid into foundations of beautiful, great houses. There are also stones that are laying out here along the highway in ditches. I praise God that I'm a stone and that you're a stone that has been laid into the foundation of the house of God. Rather than laying out in a ditch somewhere, doing nobody no good and everybody goes by curses it. God's built a great house. He's built a great house. A house that will bring glory unto Him. Now, why is God building this great house? We said before that the Spirit of God dwelt not in houses anymore that are made with hands. That in days gone by, He dwelt in stone palaces and stone temples. Today, He's dwelling in temples of flesh and blood. God is building building a spiritual house here for a place where he can dwell. God has no other place to live in the earth except inside you. God is not an essence that floats around here in the air, and on a cloudy day you can see a little bit of it. God is a spirit, and he dwells inside you and inside me. God is building a spiritual house big enough for the fullness of his spirit to dwell. Listen. Big enough for, I'm not talking about feet now. I'm talking about big in the spirit. Big enough in the spirit, in the realm of faith, in the realm of the spirit, to house all of the fullness of God. Now, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to try to explain it. There has been only one man in all of the history of the world that has ever been big enough to contain the fullness of God Almighty. And his name is Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians, the first chapter, and again in the second chapter, "For in him dwelt all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily." God can only dwell in a man to the extent, in his fullness, to the extent that that man will permit him to do so. The reason that the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus Christ is because he is the only man who ever lived that would ever give God that much room. No man has ever lived that would ever open up his life so fully to Almighty God that his fullness could dwell. But I want you to know this morning, and Almighty God wants you to know this morning, that if Jesus Christ, a flesh and blood man like me and like you, was big enough on the inside to contain the fullness of God Almighty, then you are and I am. Is that not right? That's true, isn't it? God never meant Jesus to be a one and only. He never meant for him to be one and only. He meant for him to be the firstborn of many brethren. We are to be conformed to his image by his Spirit, from face to face and from glory to glory. Every day we're to be more and more open to the Spirit of God so that more and more of his fullness can dwell inside us. I hope this is doing you some good this morning. It's doing me a lot of good. Just get it out. Just let it come out. You know, our Father wants to do so much with each one of us. He wants to bless each one of us so much. He's got so much more than any of us can ever imagine. And if you want to know how much fullness God has, you look at Jesus. That is the fullness of God Almighty. That is to be our example. He is the one that we're to pattern our life after. He is the one that we're to pattern our yieldedness after. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that will do the conforming and the changing inside your life. The foundation has been laid, but now God, by his Holy Spirit, wants to build a house. He wants to build a great house to contain the fullness of himself. He wants to fill you fuller than you've ever been filled before. He wants to give you more of himself than you have ever known a man could receive. Why does he want to do that? Because he has no other way to show himself forth to the world. The Bible says that when Jesus came, he declared the Almighty Father unto the world. Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Therefore, who today is going to show forth the Father? Who's going to do it? Jesus can't do it. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's why he's made a body. That's why we're here. That's why he's filled us with his Spirit. So that we might be the light of the world, as he said. He said, "Ye are the light of the world.
Hide not your light under a basket, but let it shine forth. Let your good works be seen by men, so that they may give glory unto your Father who's in heaven. That's what God wants to do with us. That's what He wants to do. There will be a great spiritual house built here. It's in the building beginning today. It's no coincidence that today marks 1 year since we had our first service as Water of Life Christian Center. That's very interesting. Not coincidental, but interesting. It was a year ago today that we met for the first time over at the EMC building. God has completed the foundation, and as a master builder, up go the walls. I want you to see something out of this passage that we read from Ezra. Some of you thought I was finished, didn't you? I want you to see two other things, or three really, but they'll be brief, unless the Lord wills otherwise. Look at verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and chiefs of the Levites, chiefs of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid, before their eyes they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud with joy. This house is now much more visible than it has ever been before. Up until now, we have been a band of nobody really knew what, meeting in the EMC building from Sunday to Sunday. But now that the foundation has been laid, and now that it's a sure thing that a building's going up on this site, a spiritual building, I think we have every reason to expect that we'll begin to hear some weeping and some moaning, particularly from those who are ancient priests and religious leaders. Having laid the foundation here on this spot, we're now a visible agency for the Lord Jesus Christ in our community. We're visible. Praise the Lord is right. Praise the Lord that He has honored our work for Him, honored our prayers, honored our efforts in His behalf, and have said, He said, in essence, I'm pleased with what you're doing, because you all know that no man nor group of men put this house in this place. This is a miracle of Almighty God. And in it, the Lord has said, children, I like what you're doing. It's good what you're doing. Therefore, I'm going to give you a facility to multiply. That's what He's saying in my heart. And as He's doing that, you can expect that there will be some weeping and some moaning. There will be some folks that will not like that visibility. We're likely to hear some of that. But I want you to know and never ever forget who is building this house. It's God Almighty, God Almighty, who is building this house. And that which is spoken against this house is spoken against Him, not against you. I want you to understand that. That's important. And regardless of how much weeping and how much moaning there may be, I want you to see that the shouting of the people for joy was louder. That the people who were there in that house had more joy and more praise than all of the weeping and all of the moaning that went on. And while there may have been for a short period of time some confusion as to who was doing the weeping and who was doing the joy shouting, in the last part of verse 13, the Lord is saying something to me, and I pray He is to you, about the shouts of joy. And the noise, He said, was heard afar off. Afar off. I don't mean just across the street. I don't mean up into downtown Douglasville. I mean afar off. When the people of God are building a great house, yielded to the fullness of His Holy Spirit, a noise will come forth from that place that will be heard afar off. You remember what I said to you before? God is building a great house in this place. He's not building a dainty little shack. He's not building a tent of goatskins in the wilderness. He's building a house that's going to last and it will have influence afar off. Now you mark what I'm saying to you this morning and see if it does not come true. Afar off from here. I don't know how far, and I don't know how long, but when I read that verse of Scripture, the Spirit of God just comes all over me. The noise shall be heard afar off. Now I want you to see one other thing. It's in the book of Haggai. And the first one that finds the book of Haggai gets a prize. You get to stand under the fan next week. The book of Haggai. It's one of the minor Old Testament prophets, towards the tail end of your Old Testament. It's right before Zechariah. Now Haggai was a contemporary of Ezra. So you get a history lesson today too. Now that's pretty good. You get a sermon and a history lesson. Haggai was a prophet. Ezra was a priest. They did not have the same function. They didn't have the same office. But they were contemporaries. And if you want to read something interesting, just read this whole book of Haggai. There's only a couple of chapters here. But this part I want you to read out of chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. It seems that the people during these days, during the days that the foundation was being laid and prior to it, the people had, while they had some of the blessings of God, they did not have the fullness of God's blessings. And you really have to read the whole two chapters in order to get the picture of this. The Lord spoke to them through the mouth of the prophet Haggai. You would come to a pile of grain and you expected there to be a harvest of 20 measures. You'd find there's only 10 there. They had life, but they did not have the abundance of life. They didn't have the fullness of what God could give. But look at this. When I read this yesterday, I don't know that I've ever sensed the presence of the Lord any stronger. Verse 18. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. In other words, this has been the circumstances before. From this day will I bless you. From this day will I bless you. From what day? From the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. From this day will I bless you. I don't know exactly why that is so meaningful. But I tell you what is just churning in my spirit from the moment I read that verse yesterday. And it's very unusual that the Lord would lead me into Haggai. He doesn't lead me into Haggai every other day. It's been many months since I even knew Haggai was in the Bible. That's how I know He wants me to share it with you today. I'm going to tell you what I expect. What's in my spirit? I expect the lame to walk from this place. I expect the blind to see. I expect those that are under demonic bondage to be set free. I expect prosperity to take the place of poverty in the pocketbooks of every person that comes through this place. I expect salvation to take the place of bondage for every person who is bound by the powers of Satan in this place. I expect to see the blessings of God flow through this place like a river. He said, from this day I will bless you. From this very day I'll bless you. The foundation is laid. The hard work is done. Now we come above the ground and begin to throw the walls up and see the blessings of God flow over God's children. Now believe that. Believe that with me. Believe that with me. From this day, he said. Now I'm receiving that for me. And I'm receiving that for our fellowship. And I just pray that you all can receive it for yourselves and also for the fellowship today. From this day, God says, will I bless you. I know He means that for us. I just know that as sure as I'm standing here in front of you. He means it for us. From this day, will God's blessings flow. From this day. You know, it's very much like planting. Those of you that have gardens know when you put a seed in the ground, there's a time of waiting for that seed to come up out of the ground. And then there's a time of waiting and nurturing and so on until that seed comes fully to the ripe harvest. But then on a single day, the whole harvest is reaped. Many days, you see, are waited in anticipation of the harvest. But all of the harvest comes at one time. I believe with all my heart that that is what we're going to see in our own midst. That the harvest is to be reaped beginning now, much more rapidly, much more powerfully, much more than we've ever seen before. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm not just talking at you. I'm sharing with you today what the Lord has given me, what is on my heart, and I just pray that He's given it to you as well. Will you pray with me? Father, never let us lose the vision that Thou art an almighty God. Never let us lose the vision that Thou hast chosen us as holy vessels in Your house, that Thou hast chosen to build upon this foundation a great spiritual house, one that would offer up spiritual sacrifices unto Thee through Christ Jesus our Lord. Never let us lose sight, Father, of who we are. And it's not that we're great, but it's that You're great and we're in You. And Father, never let us lose the spirit of joy and of praise and of thanksgiving. For we know that it's by Thy grace and by Thy power that all of these things are done. At the same time, Father, we would be fully open, yielded vessels unto You. Vessels truly fit for Your use. Vessels truly open to be used by You. Vessels truly open to receive the fullness of God. We don't want to limit You, Father, to that much of You which we have now. But we want all the rest. We want perfect faith, absolute love, complete forgiveness, wholeness in every area of our lives, absolute power to witness and to serve for the Lord Jesus. Wisdom to know how to use that which we have. That's our prayer, Father. That's our prayer. We thank You for granting it. In Jesus' name.
In this small stream, that flows down, this spiritual stream shall become a raging river. And a light that on a hill can hit, yes, the light shall shine forth unto all your earth. And many shall come from all the corners of the globe to see the miracles and the wonders that I shall perform in this my house. And my spirit shall dwell here with heavenly on everyone to come to my house with a pure heart, with a searching for my word, and I will use him in a mighty way.